Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? Aye?
You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you battle the Pope?
Assassin's Creed 2.
Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, where we attempt to find the best game within a very specific category. For example, this week, we're looking for the best Zelda game that isn't a Zelda game. What could we possibly mean by that? It could mean a sort of tropey dungeon crawler, where every time you defeat a boss, they drop a piece of equipment that allows you to unlock a section of the overworld that was previously locked off. It could mean a game where you play a wee guy in a pointy hat. And after May the 12th of this year, it could mean anything that allows you to build a wonky car out of random bits of tree. Speaking of things that are misshapen and a bit wooden, I'm joined today by Tom Ori.
What are you suggesting?
You don't need to read too much into it, I promise. Alex Donaldson and James Billcliffe.
Hello, James. Hello.
So James Billcliffe is having fun with framing.
Well, in the comment of the last video, somebody said that I look like 60% of what they imagined, so I'm trying to get in the extra 40%.
I've had a great start to being on video there.
You've cut off part of your face. That's you only showing the 60% they recognised as.
But that means I'm really big.
So obviously this topic is inspired by the recent release of Tears of the Kingdom, which is once again a great name for a game living in a nation that's just, you know, lost a monarch, sadly.
Is that game out now in podcast world?
I think it's out now in podcast world, or it might be. It's either out now or it's imminently out now. I am too baby-brained to check.
So. The Christmas special in January June.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing the Zelda special in
June.
Put
the snow on.
Oh no, I've just checked. This will be going out on Zelda release day.
Oh, okay. So the review embargo was yesterday.
It's out today, kids. You should go and buy it. Yeah. The review embargo. So the review has been on VG247 for at least 12 hours now. You should go and check it out.
Yeah, go and read James's review and then you can read mine elsewhere if you want.
This is a big topic because Zelda has been a hugely influential game over the years. Mm-hmm. I would say structurally in particular, it's been a hugely influential game. There are lots of secret Zelda games out there that you wouldn't necessarily think of as Zelda games. The example that comes to mind often with I've talked about it with friends in the past is Tomb Raider in a lot of ways, Tomb Raider 2013 in particular. Mm-hmm. But this topic could be interpreted in any number of ways, and that's where the game lives. I want to ask, because Alex, you haven't been on the podcast for so long, it feels like weeks, because you've been busy with Zelda and other things, what is your pick? What is the best Zelda game that isn't a Zelda game in your opinion?
It's funny because I initially I was like, oh, I'm going to interpret this in a really cheeky way. Mm. And, you know, I thought about saying Zelda 2 because obviously that is, that is hugely different to the rest of the series and it doesn't feel like a Zelda game. And the story with Zelda 2 obviously was that came out in the wake of Dragon Quest and maybe Final Fantasy. And so they tried to make a game that was a bit more like those games. And that's where you got that weird ass platformer RPG sort of thing. Then I thought about Zelda spin-offs, but not many of those are really that good, so I couldn't really say something like Link's Crossbow Training. So in the end, I have gone with one of the I think there are two obvious picks in my opinion, and of those two, one of them is sort of a mid game and one of them is a truly excellent game. And so I've gone with the truly excellent game, and that is of course Okami.
He's only gone and done it.
Because I think this game is really, really interesting because it is legitimately, I would say, a Zelda clone. Like Hideki Kamiya, you know, most famous now for Bayonetta and stuff, back then at Capcom and Clover Studio. And legitimately, he's a huge Zelda fan. He's massive on it. And he wanted to make that sort of game. But one of the things that's really interesting is obviously in Okami, you play as a wolf, basically. Mm. And it came out 4 months before Twilight Princess. So it's that weird thing of, you know, there's a word for it and I can't for the life of me think of what that word is. But you know when like, it's like the Buses 2 Come Along at Once thing with media properties where
it's like the deep
suddenly
impact Armageddon.
Yeah, or Bug's Life and
was the other one. It's like, you know, serendipity just happens, and these things that are very similar come out at the same time. And so you did have Okami come out on PS2 in April 2006, and then Twilight Princess came out on GameCube, and I guess, and Wii, of course, November 2006? And they both had this element of playing of a Zelda-style game where you play as a four-legged canine animal. It's a beautiful game. I think the design is interesting in the sense that it's very inspired by Zelda, but it does do a couple of things to really take itself apart from Zelda.
It definitely brings its own kind of stuff to the table, doesn't it?
The stuff with the brush and all that sort of stuff. I love the art style. I love the way it looks. I love the way it feels. The soundtrack's beautiful. The promotional artwork is beautiful. It's led to some wonderful cosplay with people dressing up their dogs, especially those people who've got Samoids, because they're perfect for it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it's just, it's got a wonderful place in gaming history for when, in the ultimate Capcom moment, for the Wii port, they literally just downloaded the box art off IGN and printed it, and the initial print run of the Wii had an IGN watermark on the box.
IGN loved it.
You know, that was the era when Capcom couldn't even spell its own name on the side of boxes and press releases, like it would be down as Capcom and stuff like that. So it was a golden age in many, many levels. But yeah, Okami, it's definitely an obvious one. There is one other obvious one that's 3D, and I think there's a couple of obvious ones that are 2D. Want to give a shout out, because I know no one will say it, to Final Fantasy Legend, which
was... I
was
going to say, is there a Final Fantasy game you can get into this? And you've done it.
Final Fantasy Legend, Game Boy game, black and white. Final Fantasy Legend basically became a different series over time. So there were three of those games on Game Boy, and they basically turned that into a completely different franchise, into the Saga franchise. But Final Fantasy Legend 1 is totally very Zelda-esque. It's a mix of Zelda stuff and Final Fantasy stuff, and it's notable for the fact that you legitimately just fight and kill God at the end, which is great.
So it's like Star Trek 5.
And there we go, we got Star Trek in as well, so
it's ticking all the boxes now. Lovely. So Okami is wonderful. I first played it when the Wii version came out, and of course the wonderful thing about that port was that the brush magic stuff used the Wiimote to do the drawings and symbols and stuff, and it was so suited to that particular platform. It was quite amazing to me that this was on the PS2 first, because it feels like a game that's designed for the Wii. I'm just a cliche to say it, but from the ground up, like with features of that particular platform in mind. And then I got the HD remaster on PS4 and played it, thinking, I don't know how the magic's going to work, and it worked fine. So
it was one of those few. There were a lot of Wii ports back then, right, where they were adapting games and they were a bit dodgy in terms of how they inserted the motion controls in. But that was one of the good ones, actually. Yeah, sequel's pretty good as well. Like, I mean, obviously, or spin-off rather. They did a DS game, and it's really funny because they did that DS game, and it is totally the same way. There are now sort of two threads of Zelda. There's like a 3D. Well, actually, the DS game is still 3D, but the same way at that time there were two threads of Zelda. There was sort of the Spirit Tracks, Phantom Hourglass thread, and then there was the console thread. It's the same way, like Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom will be out. But actually, the funny thing is, we won't see a game from these guys for ages, but we haven't heard anything from the team that makes 2D Zeldas for like 5 years now. So I'm sure we'll get something there. But it's funny, even in that sense, Okami ended up mirroring Zelda in the sense that they did a little cutesy DS one, and the cutesy DS one lifted from the DS sort of handheld Zeldas in the same way that the big game lifted from the big Zeldas.
Really good pick, that.
I've not played it.
Yes, you have, haven't you?
I've also not played it.
I keep wanting to buy it for Steam Deck, but I've set myself a limit of £5. And that's it. Like, I'll just play any old crap until this goes to under £5. And then I'll buy it.
Yeah. It's on sale right now, Tom, for $7.99.
Too much. That's too. I've said £5. Yeah. I will not go above £5.
Capcom, you've heard his offer. So
if you want £5, Capcom.
Yeah.
cut the price, ideally on Steam.
You could
not
you could
on
do
a third party key seller site.
You could win an easy £5 right now, Capcom, if you just made that call. You know, this ties into what we've heard today, where the market research has shown that games being priced at £70 is hurting sales in terms of raw unit numbers. So.
It's one of those weird things, though. I mean, that is hurting sales, but also economies are struggling, and we're on the cusp of a horrific recession, and people are panicking, and inflation's sky high. So, is it the price of games going up, or is it the fact that people can't afford food?
Yeah. It's also the kind of people who like are like that into games that they would pay £70 for a launch sort of like game on the PS5 day one. They're also the kind of people who know that, like, well, every game that comes out needs 9 patches before it actually works, so I'm just going to wait a bit. So it's like there's a bit of consumer savvy going on, I reckon.
Also, anyway, you got to say, the classic response, I pay £70 for Turok on the N64. You got to say that every time game cost comes up, you just bring that up, and then you can't argue with it anymore.
I want to say that Conker's Bad Fur Day was either £80 or £90 when it came out, because I recall having to beg and plead, because even though I had saved up the money, there was resistance to let me to have it, not because of the content of the game, but because my family felt it was ridiculous to spend that much on a game when you could get Mario for £30 less or whatever.
Like £90 is a lot of money now, let alone in the late 90s.
Yeah.
But we're starting to sound like a proper games podcast now. Let's move on from that very quickly. All right. Tom's going last again. James. What? Can I please hear what you've got to contribute?
Based on what we've just said, my choice is not just the perfect best Zelda game that isn't a Zelda game.
Right.
Well, in general, but
talk.
For the current climate as well, because my pick is completely free. It's dozens and dozens of hours. It's an exceptional game. It is actually genuinely really, really good. I've chosen Genshin Impact.
Yeah.
Which is, I knew that I was going to get some pushback because I don't think a lot of people here have played it. But
I've played a fair amount of it. I just,
I played like the opening sort of hour of it. I mean, it's all right, isn't it? But
so, yeah, once you get going, it's obviously, so for people that haven't played it, it is literally the bones of Breath of the Wild. Reskinned in an anime flavor with a gachapon full of different characters, and you have this like massive expansive story where you are a otherworldly traveler and you pick your own character and you go through this story where you battle alongside and against this, and I don't want to do spoilers here, this sort of this unknown evil, and you fight alongside these elemental archons and the gods of the world, and all of that's very Zelda as well. It's obviously immensely inspired by, but the mechanical basis of it is so one-to-one with Breath of the Wild that you have this excellent, like I say, mechanical basis, and then you have a really fun, a really interesting, free, huge storyline on top of it, plus it looks absolutely fantastic on PS5 and all of the new consoles and on PC. I don't think that can go under the radar, particularly with people are looking for these big budget, really flashy and engrossing experiences for less and less money now. I think that the Hoyoverse sort of stable of games, of the sort of insidious core of these mobile and free-to-play games, is always about how they're just trying to sell you microtransactions, they're just trying to do this or that. But the way that the Hoyoverse games work is almost more insidious, that they
make
a fucking brilliant game that you really, really enjoy. And then like, oh, I might as well get all of these great characters and build out things, because it's not as much about min-maxing against PvP. It's all PvE stuff. It's a huge expansive open world that where you have all of the free solo climbing up the side of the stuff. You've got the glider, you've got the gliding. You've got all of the elemental reaction stuff, so that makes all of the combat really great. Where it goes a bit further than Zelda Breath of the Wild, but in particular, is that there are a massive amount of customizable weapons and collectibles and all of that sort of stuff that you can really time sync all of the stuff into. And you really want to do that because you're invested in all of these fun characters and making these cool teams, and the world is so beautiful to explore. And I think that that is the key the key thread that where some games are just kind of hollow pastiches of what they're trying to ape. There are a few that have come out this year that I could drag, but I probably shouldn't. But
yeah,
the key thread that they've managed to really grab onto is that aspect of exploration and finding these new world quests, finding these new side quests. And it even if you have played a little bit, have bumped off of it because you didn't vibe with the tone of it straight away. And again, tonally, I think it's very similar to Zelda as well. I think that's a really important point too.
Yeah.
But the once you get really dig into the world and you get a sense of actually how vast and deep it is for the literal free asking price, that's when it starts to become really impressive. It isn't just the opening area onto that. That would be a complete free-to-play game in its own in most cases. You think
it's not really that, free though, is it? That,
well, is it really? It's good. This is something that I was thinking about Real Zelda, actually, that when I've been playing it recently, that there was a side quest in that game that I won't spoil, but as I was saying to my wife, that this side quest would be a main part of a different game. This would be this would be on the back of the box in most games, but in Tears of the Kingdom, you just kind of do it for 20 minutes and then it's never brought up ever again. Right. Genshin Impact is similar in the free to play market space like that. That you have this huge area around the starting area around that, and then you've got a lightning area, you've got a snowy area, you've got all of the different globe trotting bits, which again comes from Breath of the Wild, doesn't it? They're aping it in their own style, but I think it is, especially in the free to play marketplace, far and away the most successful example of that. Honkai Star Rail is great too.
Can't have two games, but I get your point about it being free, right? The free point is gone. But Alex literally picked a game he said now is $7.99, right?
Yeah.
And that's not that expensive. I know.
That'd get you about six pulls.
Well, it's too. We've already established that $7.99 is too much.
Yeah.
But when did it come out? 2004.
I like to punish myself, but Alex is like, that's $7.99, that's fine. How long is Akami, Alex, roughly, if you want to do a load of most of it?
I would say it's probably at least like 20, 25 hours. It's Zelda length, you know.
That's a pretty good return.
Like old Zelda length, not Breath of the Wild length.
I feel like gifting Tom Akami on Steam now just to break this quagmire.
I've probably underestimated it there. How long to beat, says Akami, is 33 and a half hours.
That's pretty good.
41 for the main and side.
It's pretty meaty.
53 for the completionist.
Shall we go on what Genshin Impact is?
No, because we don't know how much Genshin is going to cost, because
it's got a figure. Would you like to hear the figure?
What's the figure?
Main story, 57 and a half hours.
Yeah.
Main and side quest, 204 hours.
Right.
Completionist, 569 hours.
And that's how many, because it's like constantly growing, because they're constantly adding stuff on an endless treadmill in order to keep you pumping money into the system.
And it is genuinely all really good. Yeah.
How many quarters have you put into it by that point? By the time you've done 200 hours of Genshin Impact? Like, how
have you spent anything, James, or not? Have you spent anything?
No, I have generally not spent a penny, but I will
admit... Have you been gifted anything?
Full disclosure.
Here we are.
So it's bribery,
I generally don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this. They might be upset.
Take it out. They do media bonuses to give out coins and stuff.
You've essentially just had a bit of a boost, right?
Yeah, but not very much. Stuff.
That's fine, but for the average consumer who doesn't get gifted things like that, they might have to pay money. Is that correct?
I think the Honkai Star Rail media bonus was like the equivalent of 40 or 50 quid, I think.
Ooh, that's quite a lot.
So specifically with Genshin Impact, it is a lot more, you get a good stable of characters without it, and all of them are, and particularly they're within the storyline. So the characters that you get outside of it don't really appear within what you're doing. They're just kind of in your team. So it's not like, I don't know, Dragon Age or something, where some people would be mouthing off differently and people would be going, oh, this such and such likes this, such and that doesn't like that.
I love your summary of Dragon Age dialogue.
Well, that is basically that, isn't it?
But such and such mouthing off.
But in Genshin Impact, it's another incredible aspect of it, which I think pulls through from Zelda as well, is how handcrafted it is, that despite the size, that you're always going through actual story stuff with engaging and interesting characters and dialogue and stuff, rather than just fluff. I don't think there's a lot of fluff in Genshin Impact, which some people might disagree with, but it's Yeah, I think it's a great game.
Do you know what? That surprises me because, like I say, I played like the first maybe hour of it. I know it changes all the time, but like at the point where I was playing it, it was like you started off on a beach and then you sort of made your way to the city. And I can't remember the exact details.
And yeah. I do agree with James that it is good, but for me it was just like when you reach that gacha point of you need various materials and crap to upgrade characters and you can get them for free, but actually the quickest way is just to do loads of pulls and get some of that stuff via pulls through duplication bonuses and stuff like that. That's when I'm like, I've been a whale before.
Because it's all PV and it's not PvP, there's no like competitive impetus to do that stuff. You're not paying to win, if you see what I mean. You could just do it willy-nilly, whatever.
But it's like you said at the start, though, in some ways it's less insidious, but in some ways it is more insidious.
It's more insidious because you're actually having a good time rather than just paying out, innit?
Yeah, how dare them. One of the reasons I just kind of quietly uninstalled it was just I just thought, I'm not getting a good vibe off this. This just feels like it's about to turn into a casino. But people insist it's good. Like, you know, friends of mine have got really obsessed with it and are now getting obsessed with Honkai Star Rail. So Connor, our lovely colleague who usually loses on this podcast, sort of made it a point of his career to become an expert in it, didn't he?
Well, he's an expert in lots of questionable things. So, you know, I wouldn't take...
All right, okay. I love how Connor gets it tight on the show now when he's not even here. All right, okay. So we've had Akami, we've had Genshin Impact. Tom, what have you got for us?
I thought of a really good one for this. It's a game on the PlayStation,
mm-hmm.
Which, to be fair, I don't remember much about now. But at the time, I remember thinking, this is probably quite like Zelda, which I wasn't really that into at the time, Zelda. But I was thinking, yeah. So, has anyone played Alundra on the PlayStation?
Alundra is a Zelda clone. It's just not as good as Zelda clone as a
comic. I thought that was a pretty good game. But I thought, actually, no, I'm not going to pick Alundra because Alex will say something like, it's not as good as Zelda, even though it's a Zelda clone. So I thought, I'm not going to pick that. And I thought of Darksiders.
Which, that's the other obvious one that I was getting.
That's the other one that's like, it's not fully Zelda, but it is like a very action-y Zelda.
It was basically
experience.
God of War, old God of War, and Zelda had a baby.
yeah. And then Akami, obviously, but I haven't played Akami, and with my own self-imposed rules, I refuse to pick it. Right?
Yeah. So it's not worth £8, is it? It's not worth it.
It's not. It might be worth £8, but in my mind, I'm only paying...
Is the game worth £8?
So I'm only paying £5, but that's beside the point. So I was thinking, like, I literally wrote down a list of things that I think... are Zelda games, right? So dungeons, lots of bosses, adventure, lots of owls. There's quite a lot of owls in Zelda games. And sort of started 2D, then became fully 3D. And I thought, so owls, Sheffield Wednesday, right? They're the owls, right? lots of bosses, right? Loads of football managers, they're the bosses, right? Low heart, like when your heartbeat starts going quite like loud and you can hear it, right? In Zelda, that happens to me all the time playing Football Manager, it's quite tense. Football Manager is an epic adventure, you can't argue that. You travel all over the world, right?
Yeah.
Dungeons, right? What is a dungeon really, other than like a challenge that you get something that can help you later on, right?
The championship's a dungeon.
I won the FA Cup, right? The prize money from that, along with the cred I got from the board, meant I could buy Messi, right? And the next season, he scored 40 goals and we won the Premier League, right? So that is basically, the FA Cup was in fact a dungeon, And obviously, it started 2D and came fully 3D. So it is Football Manager by those reasons I've just expressed. Yeah. I don't think you can argue with it.
Well, I mean, I don't even... I had no idea how you were going to... I thought this would be the one where you would finally break the Football Manager streak, but I'm so pleased that you didn't.
Honestly, he deserves it this week.
I'm just... I don't know what to say.
All right.
Should we just call it then?
All right, got to pick something. Play the.
I can't believe this is still jingle. Going on. I've been gone for weeks.
See, Alex, honestly, we've recorded like 7 episodes since you've been away because we're about recording them, and he's done it every single time, and every time it's been amazing. I've got to pick something now, and genuinely, Tom, that was one of the best pitches for Football Manager you've ever made. And I'm sat here thinking, right? Alex is glaring at me right now. I'm sat here thinking, what would be the funniest choice? Because that's definitely been a criteria I've gone down before. Like, well, the funnier, but the sensible, level-headed pick would probably be Connor, but the funny pick is Kelsey. So
let's just say, imagine
Kelsey won that episode.
Imagine Sharif had said Football Manager for the reasons that I'd just given.
Yeah,
he'd be winning, right?
Yeah, but he wouldn't do that because he's like a really sensible man.
He'd be winning. You'd be like, oh, Sharif, you're wonderful, Sharif. You're so clever.
Yeah, but Sharif wouldn't have picked this. Sharif would have gone with Darksiders or probably Elden Ring or something, wouldn't he?
I did think about Elden Ring.
He would have picked The Witcher 3, probably.
Because there's a lot of...
The Witcher, because I thought that somebody would pick The Witcher because you're a sort of travelling swordsman. You're a white wolf, like in Twilight Princess, you said. And you're saving a princess, Princess Cirilla, Vass, whatever. But I don't think... I was going to pick it, but then I thought, tonally, it just doesn't work.
You could have won with that.
And that's what I would have gone in for you.
You could have won with that. I'd have gone with that. Unbelievable. I mean, I would have gone with that, yeah. I would have picked that. If someone had picked The Witcher 3, I would have gone with that, 100%.
That means that the funny pick this week, because of how much it would annoy Tom now that he's got that little sip of hope. Tom, to get rid of that would be really funny. And Alex obviously hates Genshin Impact with a passion. And therefore, that makes it the funniest pick.
Pick right now in this moment would be Genshin Impact. I'm not going to pick it, though, because it's Breath of the Wild with a casino on top, isn't it?
A gachapon. I love casinos. A lovely, friendly Japanese gachapon. Do you not want some plastic ham and eggs or whatever they have? Or like a little plastic giraffe or something?
The last and only time I was in Tokyo, we found... I think you might have been with us on this occasion, Alex.
We came out of somewhere pissed and there was a gachapon machine that was selling something really funny, but I can't think what it was.
It was, we found like an underground sort of like it was literally underground. It was under the street. There was like a little subway entrance to it, and you went down and it was just like this entire basement of gacha machines, just hundreds and hundreds of them. And they had like, those weird ones where it was just like a fried egg or just like a municipal building, for 25 yen or whatever. It was so weird. But yeah, I love gacha machines, but Genshin Impact is, as you yourself, James, in your pitch for it, described it as insidious. So, we can't give it to Genshin Impact.
Do you not like a bit of insidity in your life?
On a moral level. But no, it is a very good pick. So now it's between Okami and Football Manager.
Football Manager it has nothing in common with Zelda.
But on the strength...
It just has at least 5 points in common. I read the points quite clear.
Yeah, Tom just went through it.
Jim, Alex can get very unhappy about this. Just give it to Alex, all right? I concede. Give it to Alex. I won't mind. Right?
You've done this deliberately, so it's a hollow victory now.
No. Yes, exactly. No. I was literally about to say as much as it, and I'm sorry to Alex. It pains me because that Football Manager pitch was the best one you have ever done, and yet Alex is correct. So it's got to go to Alex, who has the best pick. And
it's my pleasure to give it to Alex.
And Okami is genuinely, like, I think it's probably the best Zelda clone.
Darksiders 1 is very good.
Okami is a wonderful one because it's like, in many ways, it's the most obvious Zelda clone that's ever been made, but it also brings so much of itself to that formula as well, like the wonderful line drawing magic. The art style is incredible because let's not forget the art style itself looks like a wonderful kind of Japanese watercolor. Mm-hmm. It's a brilliant game. I've played through it like more than once, and I don't usually do that. Like, I don't even like video games that much, so you know, it is actually one of my favorite games. So yeah, it's got to be Okami. So Okami is the best Zelda game that isn't a Zelda game. So, but the second best is Football Manager.
Right. Jesus wept.
Thank you very much for sitting through that. thank you very much for watching, for listening. Please leave us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Leave us a nice comment. Tweet us at VG247. Please suggest podcast topics because we're as we say every week, we're really running out of those. Please spare a thought for Alex and James, who have been reviewing, who've taken their time out to do this today while reviewing Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh yeah, I apologize to the video viewers for like the couple of hideous yawns that I've done and the massive bags under my eyes. They are the result of grinding about 45 hours in that game in about 6 days.
I was gonna say, have you guys have been like playing it in like 10-hour shifts or something, right? Like, it's
pretty much. James, but I have, like, legitimately, yeah. I just sort of said to my partner, like, I'm gonna sleep in the spare room so I don't disturb you when I come to bed, and just leave me alone, basically.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna try and make the best of this. Like, we're just done for a week.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm really sorry for your loss this week, James. But if you picked The Witcher, I would have gone with it.
So. I know, and that's the worst thing. I was talked out of it.
Who talked you out of it?
Who do you think?
Izzy.
Yeah. Talked me out of it. No, you should do something else. She talked me out of both Okami and The Witcher 3.
Yeah. I do like the idle speculation about what Sharif would have picked. Anyway, all right, we've got another episode to record. Thank you so much for watching, listening, etc. Bye.